Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237. Once again, we have a very special, and I'm not going to say guest, our friend, former Congressman Peter King, because as many times as you've been on Reaching Out, you are not a guest, you are a friend. So thank you once again for agreeing to come on.
Greg, thank you, and being called a friend by you is as much as I can hope for. So that means a lot, really. Thank you very much, and thank you for your friendship and your support over the years. You're always there when anyone needs you, especially when I needed you, and so thank you for everything.
Thank you, and vice versa. You were there, and you helped us with NYCHA, New York City Housing Authority, even though that wasn't your committee. You did a lot for us in New York, and we're going to go on to another podcast with Alex. That's going to be my part two, but it's just a little preview. You helped out, and as a result, we have a NYCHA trust committee set up, and we're going to be receiving additional funding, and we're going to have a board, and we're going to get things done like they did in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's going to be very good. We're excited. It's a new day for the New York City Housing Authority, NYCHA. And thank you for the part that you played in.
No, you're very welcome. It's, again, proud to do it. And I know that whenever I'm dealing on your behalf, that you're doing what has to be done at your end, that I never have to worry about what the results are going to be. If you receive what you're entitled to get, I know it's going to be done the right way. And again, you're a man of your word. That's always meant a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, we both share the love of baseball. And, you know, and I picked it up lately, especially since my favorite team, the Mets, have been playing much, much better and have better players. So we want to pick up. And the first question is, we understand that you've joined an advisory board of grassroots efforts called Save the Game. So tell us about that grassroots effort. And you say Save the Game. I didn't know the game was in trouble because I still watch it religiously.
Yeah, I watch it religiously, and you do, Greg. But unfortunately, among a lot of young people, also especially among a lot of people that live in the inner cities who just can't afford the expense that baseball has now. You know, when you and I were kids, there was a coach had a duffel bag full of equipment, and that was it. Kids all wore the same batting helmet if they had a helmet at all. There was catcher's gear. Everything was supplied by, you know, local people. It was kids were able to get together, play in leagues, play on their own. Today, if you're these travel teams, most kids, if they want to play organized ball, it's done through a little league or through a travel team. And the equipment, each kid has his own personalized helmet, personalized bat. To be in a travel league, it costs like $1,000 up front, and they travel. They literally do travel, which is very expensive. It's very tough on the families. And so if you're living in an area that's below average income, or even just average blue-collar income, it's extremely hard for kids to afford that. Now, with basketball, what you have to do is one kid in the neighborhood buy a basketball, and everybody can play. In baseball, it's much more expensive. Also, I think baseball is not reaching out enough to young kids. It's basketball, football, other sports, even in the suburbs, you know, sport like lacrosse. So we want to find a way to get youth back into it. Also make sure that baseball, if they can find a way, whether it involves a rule change or whatever, to go back to the more traditional playing, you have more hit and run, have more sacrifice bunts, not just be going for the home run all the time. And also what we'd like to do is meet with the major league owners, sit down and just find ways. I think baseball is a great game. I love it. But also when the games now last 3.5 hours to a father or mother to take two kids to a baseball game, a major league game can end up costing $200 or $300 by the time the night is over. By the time you buy the tickets, by the time you spend $40 or $50 to park your car, a hot dog and a Coke can end up, God knows how much it's going to cost you. So again, to try to make it more affordable for ordinary people. Now, I love minor league baseball. I go to the Ducks games on Long Island. I go to the Cyclones games in Brooklyn. And it's again, it's just really great to be able to enjoy the game of baseball and not go broke in doing it, be able to bring your family with you. So these are just some of the ideas. I don't know if there's any magic answer to all this, but also, you know, you see these, the few day games that you do have in Major League Baseball today, often there's like, you know, 20, 30,000, 35,000 empty seats there. And so to me, why not give those tickets to either at cost or, for zero, make contributions to bring in youth clubs, to bring in young people, get them out there. I remember as I was a kid, I'm dating myself, but sitting out in the bleachers in Ebbets Field when I was a kid, I was in the CYO and they gave us, somehow we got like 20 tickets to a game. I still remember going out there and sitting there, you know, it was just a whole different experience.
Well, I could remember getting some tickets when I was fortunate to get a ticket to a game. And after I finished paying for everything, I said, how much is free? I didn't pay for the ticket, but I was still, like you said, down $200. I said, oh, yeah, this isn't free. I mean, I think I'm paying more in food than I paid right. just for the ticket, you know? You're right. You're absolutely right.
And also having World Series games start at 8 o'clock at night. I mean, and with all the ads, I mean, so many ads in these games, so many changing pitches. A game that used to be 2 hours is now 4 hours or 3.5 hours. And that's fine for a day game. You want to sit out. But, you know, for young kids to be staying up at night and staying up till midnight, you know, watching a game is kind of tough, even to 11 o'clock. And maybe one rule change would be they could only use so many pitches an inning. I mean, when you see one pitcher coming in after another, five, six, sometimes relief pitchers coming in, it just stretches the game. Listen, I love it. I can sit and watch it all night, but if you're trying to get young people in and people who are maybe deciding what sport to follow, I think they can make some changes.
Yeah, absolutely right. Now they have the clock, so they have the clock in. They made different rule changes. You go to extra innings, they give you a free runner.
Right.
I mean, I'm looking like, hey, how'd that guy get on second base?
I was the same as you. It was going to extra innings. I went the next room, I come back, and I said, wow, they got a double already. I didn't realize.
Now I got used to a free runner. And then I believe it was last season, when they had double headers, they only had 7-inning games.
Yeah, that's
that was something to get used to.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. And then the pitchers come in, they got a certain amount of time to throw a pitch. You come out and meet with the pitcher, you have a certain time, you put the timer up. So everything now is on the clock, but you're right, but it's all negated when you get the commercials in there.
Right, the commercials go on forever.
But someone has to pay for the salaries. It's either you pay for it in the commercials, but somebody for the salaries of these players. So everything's relevant. And minor league baseball is taking a real hit because a lot of teams are going out of business.
And I think about 40% of the teams were contracted this year, were either terminated or they put on a short leash. You know, it's tough. And again, I love minor league baseball, but you know, hopefully we can make it work. It's a game that I love and you love, and I think a lot of people do.
Sure. I have a friend who had the Norwich Navigators, which was the Yankee farm team. Then they moved the team to Richmond and called them the Richmond Flying Squirrels. And then they put another team called the Montgomery Biscuits.
Wow, okay.
I love the names, I love the logos, and I love the merchandise. So, I mean, so it's one thing about those minor league teams, you get these names like the Toledo Mud Hens.
Mud Hens, remember those? Yeah. And also there's a new team now in Staten Island, the Staten Island Ferry Hawks, I believe it is, yeah.
Oh, the Ferry Hawks, okay.
Yeah.
And I like, one of my favorites is the Portland Maine team, Portland Sea Dogs.
Right. Yeah.
So baseball is pretty good. And people forget, or some didn't know, that Michael Jordan walked away from basketball for about a year and a half, and he went to play with the Birmingham Barons.
Barons.
Yeah, which is a farm team of the Chicago White Sox. And he upgraded that team because they had a real bus that was broken down, and he bought a luxury bus, and he bought And then he actually hit a home run. He actually got better as he played. And then
he played left field, I think.
Yeah, or right field.
Maybe outfield. Yeah. Never mind.
And then he came back to play basketball, but he went to play baseball for a little while. And then Bo Jackson, of course, played both sports.
Yeah.
He played two sports, baseball and football.
Right.
Yeah, and I could remember the time he threw out someone at home plate, Harold Reynolds. He threw out Harold Reynolds at home plate. He said, well, that's no big deal. No, but he threw him out from the left field fence on the fly.
He's an amazing
athlete. I've never seen that done before. He threw it on
amazing
the fly.
Athlete.
Yeah. We want to continue the conversation with Congressman Peter King when he was in office. A previous conversation that we had with him when our members in Long Island protected Jake's 58, the casino, from the gang MS-13.
Since the spring of 2017, there have been no murders in those areas, Central Islip, Brentwood. I can go through others, but they're the two main ones in that area. And the community is responding well. And the people, what bothered me in the beginning was we were going in there after, I was supporting it, but we had going in after them, again, FBI, Homeland Security, police, Nassau Suffolk Police, with getting, and also the Justice Department heavily involved, and the sheriff, as you said. And you had some of the local, the political people saying that this is, that you're targeting them because they're Hispanics, you're trying to get rid of immigrants. The people who were being hurt the most were immigrants themselves.
Yes.
In many cases, these were undocumented immigrants living in these communities who were afraid to go to the police.
Right.
So instead, their kids are getting butchered and killed. So the people who were being protected were the immigrants themselves, the people who needed it
That's
the most.
Cool. Yes.
And there's been, again, almost no abuse that I'm aware of. It's been, there may be the occasional case where the wrong person was picked up, but that can happen any time. But on the other hand, MS-13 is on defense. They're still there. But they're basically in hiding, and they're underground.
Yeah. But you know, I we have members who work at J58.
Mm-hmm.
I hear at night there's a problem with the MS-13 because they try to use J58
mm-hmm.
to
yep.
clean their money.
Ah, okay.
So I believe J58 was looking into hiring a couple of sheriffs to work moonlight
okay.
at night to try to clear up that problem.
Okay. By the way, some of these security people from your union who are yes. in the high schools do a great job, by the way. They're
wonderful.
And
yes.
they work closely with the police. It's tremendous cooperation. So I want to give them credit while I'm here, yeah.
Thank you. And the ones at Jake 58, they're the tellers, and they operate the machines and the betting. So but that's
he mentioned
wonderful.
Errol Toole on the yeah. sheriff. He is yeah. a really a tremendous asset we have.
Yes.
And I didn't vote for him.
Our families are connected, too.
Really? Okay.
His father worked with my father-in-law in corrections.
Wow, okay.
So then I found that connection years later when I met my wife and started talking to his father. And he said, Cecil Toulon. I said, I knew a Toulon. I played baseball with him. And then the connection came wow. full circle. So as he's swearing in, the family was there, and I hadn't seen them in, oh, man, it must have been 40 years.
Wow.
So we were all together once again.
Gregory Floyd, host of Reaching Out, gets answers to the tough questions from people in the know.
We have our senator from New York State, U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer, on the line. We've been getting a lot of questions about what can be done in these mass shootings. Are there any solutions being discussed on the Hill?
There are a number of things we have to do. One is to have universal background checks. You know, there is a right to bear arms, and people who want to have a gun should be able to get one, but only if they're not felons, if they're not adjudicated mentally ill, if they're not spousal abusers. That's all the background check law does, and it has the support of 90% of the people. So we are going to be making a strong effort here on the Hill to deal with background checks. We're also looking at banning clips of more than 10 bullets.
It's Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd at a new time, Saturday afternoon at 2:30 and again at 9 p.m. on AM 970, The Answer. Gregory Floyd, host of Reaching Out, gets answers to the tough questions from people in the know.
A very special guest is Congressman Peter King.
I was going to ask you, how are the Teamsters doing? I know the Butch Lewis Act was finally enacted last year as far as pensions and... How are the pensions? Let me ask you. Yeah, I'm asking the question now. How are the Teamsters doing? How is the labor movement? And how is the working with the new leadership at the national level?
The Teamsters are doing much better. Thank you for your help with the Butch Lewis Act. The Butch Lewis Act strengthened pensions across the country that were going under. We're doing much, much better. People in better shape. You saved a lot of working men and women from, I would say, financial ruins, because all they had to look forward to was their pensions. It's not like they could have went out and got a job and started working again. So that was very good. It was pointed out that America got bailed out, but the workers did not. So that's very good. The new leadership, Sean, is finding his way. He's going to make a name for himself. A very good man. I got a one day when you're both in the same place, I'm going to introduce you to him.
That'd be great.
You would like Sean. Very, very personable guy from Boston, Massachusetts. The labor movement is doing much, much better. People understand, or some have been introduced to, you need a labor union to get wages and for job protection and just financial stability. So they're now rediscovering the roles of unions. The recent Amazon, I got to see how that goes, the recent Amazon unionization. And now there are a lot of other companies that are being unionized. They understand that the billionaires are just running the table on everybody in America, and labor is the only thing left between the billionaires, the haves, and the working class, the have-nots. So I thank you for asking about that. And this has been the real resurgence.
Also, if I could ask one more question, where do you see the security level being in the New York City housing and in the schools? I know, especially with the schools, it was really important, I believe, to have your people in there, your union members.
I'm glad you asked that question, because we are in much, much better shape with Mayor Eric Adams. I'll tell you why. He understood the need for school safety to remain part of the police department. They're not police officers, but logistically, for the training, the screening, the hiring, the background investigation, the support, and the just coordination, it needed to be with the New York City Police Department. They're not police officers. They don't carry weapons. However, the far left, those loonies on the left, elected official Jumaane Williams, just characterized them as police officers. His thought was, they wear a badge, a patch, we're going to attack them. But they're not police officers. They work for the police department, but they're not police officers. They do a tremendous job in protecting our children. However, there was a decline in their performance this year because of the shortage. They're short 2,000 people. That's almost half. So they're working with a 40% reduction in school safety. And they have recovered more weapons this year than ever before. And they're just trying to keep the schools safe. And a lot of times they're working with one person when there used to be two. And one of our school safety agents was stabbed, almost fatally stabbed in the neck. But right. A teacher helped him, and the teacher was slashed. But we usually would have had two people there at that time because of the shortage. And the shortage is caused by the city council under the leadership of Corey Johnson. They did not hire school safety agents. Right. And as a result of that, the numbers are low.
I think it is really helpful having Mayor Adams in there, former police officer. He's from the neighborhoods. He knows what life is all about. And because he has to balance things out, I'm not making this positive. The Democratic Party right. definitely has different factions. And I think Eric Adams has to stand up. And he is, getting the job done within his own party and for the entire city. Because if the city's not safe, people are going to come back in. And if kids can't be educated in safety, then it's really, we're losing hope for the future generation.
Sure. And people don't understand it. And the people who were advocating for no school safety agents in the schools were individuals who did not have children in the New York City school system.
Right.
And I point that out to people. I said, look at them. It's easy for them to tell you what to do with your kids because it doesn't affect them. I said, why would I take advice for somebody who it doesn't affect? Now, if the parents came and said, we don't want school safety in the schools, I said, you know what? We got to listen. These are their children, and they know what's best. But the parents didn't say that.
Right.
The advocates said it. So we got to be very careful of listening to people whose lives will not be affected by the decisions they want to make. You're listening to Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters, with a very special friend, former Congressman Peter King, who we are going back and forth. He's asking me questions, I'm asking him questions, but that's because of his radio personality now, because in his departure from Congress, he has his own radio show and he does radio, and I can tell you, you're pretty good. So
Thank you.
Ask me as many questions as you want. I'd like to be on the other side. So you got another one for me?
Let's see, World Series, Mets and Yankees, who wins?
Oh boy, let me say this. I am a Met fan. The Yankees are playing better. The Mets are good, the Yankees are better. Because you look at it, I believe the Yankees have about 7 less losses than the Mets.
Yeah.
So which means that will give them the home field advantage. Mm. Now, I'm going by the 2 World Series I attended. And there's a trend, and I hope this year will be different. I hope it breaks the trend. 2000, I went to game 3, Mets-Yankees. Mets were good, Yankees were better. The Mets won 1 game. I went to game 3. That's the game they won. They lost 4 games to 1. 2015, Kansas City Royals. I went to 1 game, game 3. The Mets won that game. It was a 2-1 series, then they lost the next 2. They lost that series 4 games to 1. There's a trend. Now, this year, it looks like the Yankees and Mets, if the Yankees win, I don't know how the records are, but if the Yankees has the home field advantage, that means game 3 will be at Citi Field, which I could go to and they could win. The only difference is I would hope that they win games 3, 4, 5, 6, and they win the World Series. Can you break the trend for us?
Well, I went to game 4. Unlike you, the game I went to, the Mets were winning in the 8th inning, and it was a easy ground ball to Daniel Murphy, which would have ended the inning and went right through his legs. He was a great player in the series and the playoffs, but that play, any Little League kid could have made it, and that opened it up. Kansas City won, and then they won the next night. And Greg, I'm going to have to sort of leave in a second. Okay. I have a meeting come up. I'm really for that. Sorry for the late start. So I said I was talking to my grandson who's over in Ireland. I was talking to him. I just made the connection.
That's important.
How's your daughter doing?
My daughter's doing well. She's actually back in New York. And we have a softball game, and we're going to play on Friday, which is the 24th. And it's the Teamsters team, and we're going to be playing against the NBA.
Oh, wow.
The NBA front office. Last week, we beat the NHL. So we're going to play the NBA, and she's going to be playing with me because it's a co-ed game.
Great.
And, I'm looking forward to that.
That's terrific. Okay. Well, good luck to your daughter. Good luck to you. And really, thanks for all your friendship over the years. I sent you that photo I found the other day. That went back about 12 years, I remember.
That was
really
the first one. I remember it.
Yeah.
I said, wow.
And yeah, you have a meeting set up. Usually, you meet with somebody in politics the first time. You're wondering, how bad is it going to be? You know, because usually, instead, this was great. From the first moment you came to my office and we sat down, it's been really great. And I trust you implicitly. So thank you for everything, really.
Thank you. And thank you for coming on. And I know you have to run. So what we're going to do is, Alex, we're going to say goodbye. We're going to end the show here on a high note, and we'll just fill it in with something later on. And but you've been listening.
Sorry. Thank you for that, really.
I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. Thank you once again, our friend Peter King, former congressman, for coming on and sharing his knowledge. We were talking about baseball, NYCHA, school safety, and just general politics in general. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.